Hello and welcome to Key to Happiness. This is show 12. I'm Rob Saunders and today's guest is none other than the great Jimmy Moore. Yes, Jimmy Moore as in keto clarity. Yes, Jimmy Moore as in cholesterol clarity. Yes, Jimmy Moore as in real food keto along with his wife Christine. I am so excited to have somebody. It was like the first book I picked up about keto on the show today. Now, don't forget, folks, the Keto Happiness podcast is for educational purposes only. If you're embarking on a new way of eating, diet, lifestyle, don't forget to get advice from your doctor, GP, physician, dietitian, whoever. And if you're thinking of starting the keto lifestyle, why don't you head over to our friends, the Two Keto Dudes, at start.2keto.com. There you'll find everything to do with the startup on keto. And we'll be with me and Jimmy very, very soon. And we're joined today, I'm very honoured to have Jimmy Moore from the States over, what I'd call a keto hero of mine. Now, Jimmy catapulted into the health scene in 2004 after a phenomenal 180-pound weight loss enabled him to come off prescription drugs for high cholesterol and high blood pressure and also respiratory problems. He's the energetic personality behind the uber-popular blog Living La Vita Low Carb and the host of the longest-running and one of the top-ranked iTunes health podcasts, Living La Vita Low Carb. Jimmy also hosts numerous other podcasts like Keto Talk with Jimmy Moore and Dr. Will Cole, Fasting Talk with Jimmy Moore and Friends, amongst others. Now, he's interviewed over 1,300. Now, since this was written, it's probably over 1,500 now, Jimmy, health experts, and dedicated his life to helping people get the best information possible about living healthy so they can make the right decisions for their health. Jimmy is an engaging speaker who's been invited to speak all over the world, including the UK, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and all across the USA. He is an international best-selling author of The Complete Guide to Fasting, The Ketogenic Cookbook, Keto Clarity, my first ever keto book, and my second ever keto book, Cholesterol Clarity. And I've just recently read his book with his lovely wife Christine Moore, Real Food Keto. I have a copy in my hand now, and also The Keto Cure. If you want to get in touch with Jimmy, we'll post everything on the podcast website, but it's livinglavidalowcarb.com. and welcome, Jimmy Moore.
Hey, what's up, man? I love that intro. You are a gentleman and a scholar, as they say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. again, it's quite nerve-wracking for me having to talk to one of your sort of inspirational health heroes. I don't want to embarrass you, Jimmy, but
I'm just a dude, is what I tell
you're
people
a dude.
That got inspired,
yeah.
And I'm hopefully inspiring other people, and now all those people go and inspire other people. So I'm proud of you, Rob, for being inspired and now inspiring others.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's lovely to hear. Now, tell us a little, because a lot of people do know you in the keto community in the UK and Ireland, but I'm trying to spread the love in people who may not have heard of the ketogenic lifestyle.
Yeah.
Just briefly tell us about your journey.
Yeah, so in 2004, I was 410 pounds. So what's that, about 200 kilo, 190 kilo, something like that. I was a big boy. So I was on prescription medications, as you mentioned, and I was a ticking time bomb, 32 years old, had pretty much lived my life not really caring about what I ate, what its effect on my health was, nothing. And I was having no like major issues in my health, but it's because I was only in my early 30s. Had I continued down that path, I honestly believe, Rob, that today I would not be here.
Wow.
And I would have died. And my evidence of that is when my own brother, Kevin, who at the age of 32 had three heart attacks in the span of a week that nearly killed him, and it eventually did kill him at the age of 41. So this is real to me.
Yeah.
And when you have this kind of an experience that is in your life, you can't help but want to make a change. And so I did. January 1st, 2004, I decided to make a change thanks to a diet book that my mother-in-law gave me for Christmas of that year. Yes, Mom, thank you. I'm fat. Appreciate it. Stating the obvious there. But she gave me that book, and it was Dr. Atkins's book, so the low-carb diet.
Yep.
And I had heard of Atkins before, but I thought it was kind of whacked. How do you eat all that fat, and how do you cut your carbs and not, you know, not have health ramifications from that? So I thought, well, every diet I'd ever done up to that point was all predicated on low fat. Let's flip the script. Let's go high fat. Let's go low carb. Yeah. And let's see what happens. And what happened was I lost somewhere around 82 kilo in the span of a year.
Goodness me.
And came off of three prescription meds, as you said at the beginning, and radically changed my life. And of course, it got the attention of a lot of people because you can't just accidentally lose that much weight. And so it got the attention of people, and they wanted to hear more from me. So I started a blog in 2005 called Living La Vida Low Carb, because Ricky Martin was a thing then.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore. Living La Vida Loca. And then a year later, this guy gave me the opportunity to start podcasting long before anybody was doing that medium. I tell people, Rob, I was podcasting before the iPhone was invented. That's how long ago it was.
I can believe that. Yeah. And again, it's really hard not to think, oh, I'm doing it because everybody else is doing it. And mainly because of Jimmy Moore. But there are a lot of people that are sort of on that are following that, but not having the right guidance. I'll go into that a little bit later, because of the discussion you had with Carl Franklin on one of your podcasts, one of his. But tell us more about after Atkins. What happened then?
Yeah, so after the Atkins diet, and I started Living La Vida Low Carb blogging, because I do love to write, and then started jibber-jabbering behind this microphone that I'm on now on a podcast, I just kind of went through the journey, and people are like, well, once you hit your goal weight, all is beautiful and all is peachy keen and the skies open up and the birds are singing. And that's just not the reality. I think those of us that have done significant damage. So for me to get to 190 kilos in my life, that didn't come without consequence. And all those years of Coca-Colas that I drink coming out of my ears, and all of the junk food and fast food and everything that led me to have the damaged metabolism that I do now, simply going on any given diet isn't necessarily going to heal all of that damage. So I put back on some weight from that, still way down over 100 pounds, which is about 45 kilo from my highest weight. But it's the reality. Some people are going to have to deal with things in a little bit different way. So my strategy has shifted. In 2011, I shifted to kind of a paleo-ish, real food-based keto. And then 2012, I actually got really tight and strict with the ketogenic approach. I wrote about this in my book, Keto Clarity, where I really tested the whole concept of getting into a state of constant nutritional ketosis and the benefits that gave me. That's what ended up turning into the book, Keto Clarity, which kind of kickstarted a lot of this keto message that's out there now. Way back in 2014, we released that book. And now everybody's a keto expert. And I'm like, where were you people when I was writing that book? I was desperately looking for anybody talking about keto. And it was just so few and far between then.
And the beauty of how you write and how you present your podcast, you put it in a language that people like me can understand, because you've gone into so much depth and research with the medical and the scientific side that you're translating it so Joe Public, like me, can go and say, yeah, it's fact-based and it's science-based. And Jimmy, you are the typical human guinea pig of all these types of things. And you've done it, and you've worn the t-shirt, and now we're all sort of benefiting from that. And no matter how you do keto, just refer to one of Jimmy's books and he'll just introduce it in layman's terms.
And thank you for that, Rob, because that was one of the things when I got approached in 2012 by my publisher, Victory Belt Publishing. They were like, what do you want to write about? We love your platform. We love to get your name out there and let you write books. What do you want to write about? I said, ketogenic diets. Oh, it's too much of a niche of a niche. Nobody really cares about that. I'm like, you're so wrong. There's going to be a big market for this. But they had me do the cholesterol message first. But for me, whenever I started writing books for them, I thought, you know what? You know what's missing out there is we got lots of people writing sciencey stuff. And I love the sciencey stuff as much as the next person. But I'm thinking, okay, does that person that bags my groceries down at the grocery store, do they know like what some of this sciencey stuff means? Not likely. What about the lady that serves me food at a restaurant? Does that lady person know, you know, if I was to tell them this some of this stuff from these sciencey books, would they know what they're talking? No. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, maybe my role in this community is I can translate all of that into layman language. And sometimes when you do that, you water down the message a little bit. But to me, Rob, if you can water it down enough to make it palatable that they then go, oh, that's what that means. And then they go and dig deeper. Yeah. That was the goal when I wrote Keto Clarity, when I wrote Cholesterol Clarity, and really any book that I have my name on. My goal is I see you out there, Mr. Non-Science Person. I see you over there. You didn't do well in science in school, lady. I want to help you understand this so that then it maybe piques your interest to go learn more.
Yeah. And that's what got my hunger for more information. You were introduced to me through a mindfulness business course led by a guy called Jack Black, a Scottish guy, and we did it over in Dublin. And he was studying and learning about keto long before me, and he just pulled me over and said, Rob, you're looking a bit big around the waist, around the, you know, the tummy and the belly. Just have 15 minutes with me. And by the way, if the least thing you can do, go on Amazon and buy this book. But it's this guy called Jimmy Moore. It'll open your eyes and then put you a new perspective on how you eat and how you live, not just how you eat. And just give it a go. And from that March the 10th, 2018, I haven't really looked back. And again, your professionalism, but also the way you're very approachable in terms of listenable on your podcast. If somebody was to come to Live in La Vida Low Carb, you do get very social as well as very serious topics on there. Just tell us about some of the guests that you've had on.
Oh my gosh, it runs the gamut. if there anybody in the space of nutritional health, fitness, research, medical doctor, I probably talked to them, including a lot of vegans. Everybody's like, well, you're the keto guy, the low carb guy. You only interview people that agree with you. And actually, I go out of my way to find people that I don't agree with, because sometimes the nuances of the differences of why you believe what you believe come out when you hear someone that has a completely opposite position to you. Sometimes it's been beautiful. Yeah. Like when I interviewed Dr. Dean Ornish, the famous vegan guy, and we were able to kind of come to some common ground of what we believed, various things that we believed that were in common. And then sometimes it's been very contentious. People like Dr. John McDougall in episode 686 of the Live in La Vida Low Carb Show. Go look it up. He was extremely ugly towards me, but it was also a very eye-opening experience for a lot of vegans that followed his work. They heard how he treated me and they wrote to me afterwards and went, I quit veganism because of how he treated you.
Oh,
pretty amazing.
That's amazing. And it's good to have good conjecture and debate about these things, because I am a carnivore. I love meat. I love eggs and everything like that, and fat.
Yep.
But there are people like that for cultural reasons that, yeah, you're vegan and you're vegetarian. That's fine. Go read Will Cole's book, Ketotarian. And
that's right.
That'll just open your eyes to there is another option rather than meat. But In terms of nutrition and everything like that, I think you sort of fly the flag for real food.
I do, and that's been an evolution in my thinking as well. Obviously, when I first started on the Atkins diet in 2004, it was just get off the crap, or as I like to call it, crappy garbage. And so getting off of the 16 cans of Coca-Cola I was drinking a day and the big boxes of snack cakes and pastries and cookies, sure, and fast food and all of that stuff, that was my job number one, just get off of all of that and get on to less carbohydrates. Then after kind of evolving with this for a few years, I thought, okay, I need to clean up the diet and make it mostly real whole foods. And then after that, okay, mostly real whole foods, but also still being mindful of trying to be a fat burner. So keeping carbs low, moderate protein, high fat. And it's just constantly all of these things that you add to it. And lately, and then I added in fasting after keto.
Yep.
And then lately, I've been adding in some various biohacking techniques, things like infrared sauna, things like HIIT training, ice baths, which is, it sounds like torture, but it's actually glorious, and those kinds of things. And I think that's the beauty of once you kind of get your foot in the door and get your appetite whetted, so to speak, you want to try more and more and more things. And in my work, I share about all those things and say, hey, maybe this is something you want to try too.
Yeah. You mentioned that obviously lots and lots of people have jumped on the bandwagon. You've been doing it since Noah was a lad. And like anything that gets popular, people have their own contentious things. People think they know more than each other. Where, right. And again, like any collective group, even a sports team, everybody's got an opinion. And I think we mentioned it on a show that you were with Carl Franklin, and the fact that there's a lot of infighting in the keto community where we should just be, no, let's sing from the same literal hymn sheet. And yeah. Not expose each other. You know, I'm not bothered if I've had 21 grams of carbs today. That's my decision. You know, let's just sort of have a pressure group and pressurize the pharma companies and the people who are promoting processed carbohydrates that are bad for us and are bad for the kids. Because at the end of the day, we'll be gone in 50, 60 years, but it's our inheritance will be known as, like the tobacco industry has.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And I do hate it that there is such kind of bickering over, well, it should be mostly protein, it should be mostly fat, it should be net carbs, it should be total carbs, it should be this, it should be that. And I think we lose sight of the vast majority of the population, even though keto is popular in the culture, at least here in America, and I assume most places around the world, yeah, including the UK, that people are at least interested in this and are looking it up. But the vast majority of people, Rob, they're still hopelessly addicted to carbohydrates. They're still, yeah, drinking Coca-Cola. They're still eating poorly. And so if we ever lose sight of that fact that people, they don't care about our squabbles because they just don't care, like Jimmy Moore circa before 2004, sure, I didn't care at all. You could have all the squabbles you wanted in the world about protein and fat, or are you testing your blood sugar and insulin levels? I didn't care about any of that stuff. So our goal should be, what does it take to make those people care like we once didn't either?
Exactly. And there are people out there. There are doctors. There are cardiologists. There are all types of people starting to not be afraid of saying, oh, we were wrong about that, because in medical, right, school we only did 5 hours of nutrition, the rest, right, was doing other important stuff. But there's these people now that they're educating us, you know, in terms of nutrition and things like that. And a lot of my patients are on this. Why are they losing weight? Why are they suddenly coming off their meds? Let's start, yeah, listening.
Yeah, and I mean, I could name off all my great friends that are medical doctors using this, people like Dr. Eric Westman, mm-hmm, who was my co-author on the Clarity books, Keto and Cholesterol Clarity, people like Dr. Ken Berry, who's been very vocal about his profession kind of letting down the patients and giving them bad advice just to keep them on a pill. People like Dr. John Lemansky, my Keto Hacking MD podcast co-host, who uses biohacking and he doesn't think it's talked about near enough. Jeff Gerber in Denver, a medical doctor there. I mean, I could go down the list. Adam Nally, my co-author on the Keto Cure, who's seeing patients there in Arizona, literally around the world. You got people like Dr. Gary Fetke over in Australia. Yeah. I mean, it's just so many that are articulating this concept.
And there's, one of the go on.
I'm sorry, what?
I was just saying, even over here, there's people like
Asim Malhotra,
Zoe Harcum, Rangan Chatterjee, people like that, who are now getting media exposure. And even on the, I wouldn't call it junk TV, but the popular TV, I had a guest on, Martina Shlaryova, who does keto cookbooks, and her keto cookbook worked out on a TV show out of 25 so-called diets that a ketogenic way of life and way of eating was actually one the most effective in terms of weight loss because they were concentrating on that, but also value for money, and people perceive that going keto is going to cost the earth, but actually it saved us money. For one, there's no waste, and because we technically eat less because we're full more, and people have got, and obviously it's that stigma of, again, oh, you're eating a lot of fat. It's if once we get out of that mindset, I think hopefully in my lifetime there's going to be a change.
Yeah, I think it has to, because we're kind of at this point in our history, in our culture, where people are sick and tired of being sick and tired and sick and tired of being fat and sick all the time. And so they're starting to put two and two together. I think part of the beauty of the internet is it has opened the world's eyes to all of this underground stuff. I mean, from a historical perspective, all of these researchers and companies and the shenanigans that they did behind the scenes when they didn't really have open access to be able to see what happened. All of that's gone now. These companies are being exposed. We have like the Sugar Association paying researchers at Harvard to squelch negative research about sugar because they were trying to push the saturated fat is bad for you message. And they were successful with as little as a $50,000 payment to these researchers, that they kept them quiet. And that's just one example. What else went on behind the scenes? So many things. And now the internet has kind of opened people's eyes. You got podcasts like yours and mine that people are learning things on, and books. And it's a glorious time to be living, because it's almost like finally we're having a reawakening of the mind of the world of just how bamboozled and propagandized we've been.
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head. The mindfulness of it, people are getting literally clarity because of the way things work in our body. Our body, you know, is its own little system that if it's bad, it does tell us if we listen to it. And again, if you read into Jimmy's books on inflammation and on chronic diseases, and also his lovely wife Christine's journey through Hashimoto's and thyroidism, things like that, then we learn to, our body is a remarkable piece of kit. It is, and it does tell you, you know, I experiment all the time. I know there's certain foods, if I eat, I may get a little bit of eczema, and I know, oh, there must be some sort of wheat or carbohydrate in that. Do you find that you've got your some foods that may not agree with you, and some, you know, you absolutely love and you can eat till heaven and back?
Yeah, for me, I never had any kind of direct manifestation in a disease state like that. Like Christine went through the ringer and back with all the things she's dealt with. For me, it's just always been manifest as obesity.
Sure.
And so thank God, if that's all I have to deal with, I'm okay with that. I can, you know, make sure I keep my carbs low, because weight gain is very easy if I don't. And so, no, unfortunately, I don't have that instant feedback of I eat grains or eat sugar or whatever, and sure, I get some breakout or anything like that. No, I don't. I just have to watch it knowing that it will impact my weight.
Sure. Because I'm a similar condition to Christina's. I had my gallbladder taken away quite a few years ago. And again, reading into it, I think I know why. Because I was yo-yo dieting. I was on the Slimming World, the Weight Watchers, the Slim Fast, the Herbal Life. And I was up and down like nobody's business. And reading into why I was getting gallstones and the fact that my my bile duct was just crusting over and creating these stones. And in hindsight, and I think you spoke about this actually today on your Jimmy Rantz Instagram cast and Facebook cast, that Christina could have not had her gallbladder removed if she was to, if we knew all about this ketogenic way of eating.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's so many things that happen that doctors, they're just in automatic mode, Rob, where, well, you have this pain, we just need to take care of it with this action. And the action doesn't come without consequences. So in the case of removing a gallbladder, that's a extremely important organ in the body. And you remove that, you suddenly create this downstream of domino effect of, okay, you remove that. Now you have to, if you want to digest fat properly, you've got to add in enzymes and digestive, helps and things like this, that they never talk to you about that kind of thing. And that maybe there was a way you could have healed that organ like the gallbladder without having to have it removed.
That's right. The first couple of weeks into my keto journey was a literal roller coaster, mainly to the bathroom. But once I got...
TMI.
Once I did get fat adapted, and I did take some prebiotics, got my gut health fine. I haven't looked back, really. I'm going to mention, again, I love watching your Instagram cast, and also you're on Facebook book, and it's called Jimmy Rantz, and I think it's jimmyrantz.com is the where you will pick up the news of today about nutrition, healthy eating, or somebody that's basically trying to create a headline. I think there was one today that you mentioned, and one, it's really funny and enjoyable. But you put the record straight, because people will see that and they'll come to me and say, Rob, oh my God, you're going to die because you're on this only fat diet. And, you know, and they didn't bother when I was eating six Big Macs and, 12 Diet Cokes, even Diet Cokes at the time, a year or so ago.
Yeah, that is the funniest thing, though, Rob. And maybe I'll do a Jimmy Rantz on that. Yeah. Why do people lose their minds when you eat keto because you're eating real whole foods that happen to be high in fat and low in carbs, but nobody blinks an eye when you eat a bunch of crap all the time? It's just the weirdest kind of cycle. I would love to talk to a psychologist on one of my podcasts to kind of get into the mindset. Why do people have a problem when you're doing something proactive for your health? And yet when you're obviously not caring about your health by eating junk, they don't say a word. What's the psychology there? It'd be an interesting discussion.
Exactly. And people probably asked you, they've asked me, how can you not eat bread? How can you not have rice? How can you not have pasta with? Well, when I was created, the man upstairs gave me a choice, and that choice was, I can make decisions for my own self, and if it's going to benefit me, and I don't mind spending 5-10 minutes with somebody and saying, look, these are the basics, these are the books you should read, and by the way, stick some headphones on and listen to some of these podcasts, especially the startup ones that can just give you sort of the basics, and then if there's any questions, come and see me, message me on Facebook, that type of thing. Or, even message you guys, because you've got forums and things like that yourself. I think there's the ketogenic forum, which, people can blast in their experiences. And there's a lot of little groups within Facebook. There's a UK one and things like that. And to share the experience, rather than rant on about each other's, you know, I'm doing this, you know, it's all a big, I don't know, big pool of love, I call it.
So I have an answer to those people that ask the question, how can you live without bread? I flip the script back on them, Rob. I say, how can you live with it?
Yeah, that's a great
answer. And
then
you get them to think about that there's a blood sugar response, there's an insulin response, and maybe they didn't know. Maybe they weren't thinking about it before. Again, circa 2003, Jimmy Moore didn't know what his insulin was, what his blood sugar was, what his inflammatory markers like HSCRP were. I didn't know any of that stuff. But if they say, how do you live without bread? How do you live with it?
Exactly. And you look at any of the great cookbooks, even at the back of your Real Food Keto, there's people like Carrie Brown out there. There's lots of blogs. If people want that texture and feeling that they're eating bread, you can make it, but it's just not with wheat and gluten. And it's made mainly with almond or coconut flour. And if you want that texture, yeah. Go for it. You know, it's sort of, again, doing a bit of nutritional hacking and making your brain think, yeah, I'm still sort of enjoying what I did. But, yeah, it's, you know, hold my hand up. It's quite difficult. And when people say, so, Rob, you can't eat bread yet. Okay. But you can eat pizza, right? And I've had so many funny conversations like that.
Yeah, it's so funny because they identify all of these things that I don't even see as food anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of odd, you know, and of course the vegans are coming out with all of these kind of vegan meat burgers. That's the most hilarious thing. I don't know if it's made it into the UK yet, but here in America, they've got this like Beyond Meat Impossible burgers. And it's like a chemical crap storm of all these kind of nasty ingredients. They've smushed together 20, 30 ingredients and call it a vegan burger because it's plant-based and that makes it healthier.
But
you have all of these kind of products put out there and people are, oh, it's plant-based. It must be healthy. And they just don't have any idea what they're putting in their mouth.
I know. And they're making it look like meat. If you want meat, why don't you have meat?
Eat friggin' meat. We're going to have a mini Jimmy rants here on Rob's show.
Oh, this would be great. And the other thing, I was over, we went over to Florida in February with the boys and my lovely wife, Sean, and we did vacation in the theme parks. And then we went shopping. And then I went down the aisles and I looked at the vitamins. And what did I see? Slim Fast Keto. Now, oh, yeah. I didn't have a rant. I had a rant in myself because I looked at the bottom of the box and there's obviously a big company like SlimFast trying to sell themselves off as the new keto health supplement until I looked at the back of the box and see the things that end in OSE on them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to America, by the way. If you come to America, the land of the sugar and the home of the obese people and sick people. The funniest thing to me, since I've got someone from the UK that's interviewing me today, there are so many things that are banned by the European Union and that you can't get in the UK, but you come to America and they put it in everything.
Oh,
like even like additives, colorings. There's things that we put in the food supply here that you guys, thank God, don't have to deal with.
I know. And obviously, we're in a bit of a political turmoil over here at the moment. And if certain trade restrictions are dropped, then God help us on in terms of antibiotics injected into food and cattle and things like that. We're quite blessed over here, Jimmy. Well, a lot of things are grass-fed. We can get reasonably priced organic food, and there's some supermarkets out there who actually discount real food. Although, still in the middle, you've still got all the cereals and all the breads and things like that.
Sure.
But people are, you know, even, God help us, the vegan market, there's lots more veg out there.
Well, that is the positiveness that comes from the vegan world.
Yeah,
but
I thought
the thing is they're coming after our meat, though, Rob. That's the thing, and I've been highlighting this quite a bit on my various Jimmy rants lately. Is there seems to be this concerted effort to make the whole world eat plant-based, and they vilified a perfectly healthy and, I would argue, optimally nutritious food group, and that is red meat. They vilified it so much that they're trying to pass it off as somehow unhealthy. And the science, the biochemistry of it all, your body thrives when you eat red meat as compared to all the superfood plant-based foods in the world. Quinoa doesn't hold a stick to red meat.
Yeah.
Blueberries, same thing. Chia seeds, all these things that are considered superfoods, they're not super compared to red meat and all the organ meats that come from animals.
Yeah.
And that's lost in our culture these days with all the anti-meat propaganda.
And physiologically, I think I was listening to a podcast or watch a TV or a film, and the fact our getting more TMI here, our colon isn't made for plant-based thing in terms of our digestive tract. It does sticks in your body. And I think you've gone into it quite in depth in some of your more medical-led podcasts and blogs. But we also share a passion as well, Jimmy. I don't know if you know, because I thought a vegan Mr. Spock was.
No, I do not share that passion. That is my wife's passion.
Oh, is she a Trekkie or a Trekker?
She is the Trekker and a half. I don't care a bit in the world about any of it.
Oh, I must admit, I'm going to have Christine on a Key to Happiness Star Trek The Next Generation podcast very soon. And
I do know the Picard series is coming out soon. She's excited about that.
Oh, so. I bet she is. But and again, listen to Jimmy Rant. I'd say it could be the funniest and also the most heartwarming and informative. And it does get you. It gets me angry when I listen to you, Jimmy. And I know the beauty of it as well. You did a rant the other week. I think it was only a few days ago. That you get a lot of people knocking you, and I think it's because of your popularity. Like any celebrity, anybody who's an expert, they sort of vilify you because it's so and so saying this, that, and the other again. But I, to your credit, Jimmy, it's a water off a duck's back, and it makes you a better person, I think, and in terms of your debate and your conjecture.
If they think they're going to shut me up or slow me down, they don't know me very well, Rob.
I know. And that's the beauty of it. You know, I'm very laid-back person. And, you know, and I think the way you come across are, but if something hits the mark, something gets you ready, you're ready to rant, mate.
Yeah, I feel like this message is just too important to play around.
Yeah.
And yes, I like to have fun. I'm a little bit of a goofball sometimes, but I think that's also relatability to people. They need to know there's a real human being, because it would be easy for me to just talk like this and be very boring, and it would be, nobody would listen to that. But if you kind of make funny faces and make funny, you know, voices and keep people's attention while you're dropping some truth at them.
Yeah.
They'll be receptive. And I did a rant the other day about this lady who tried keto, and she really did a lot of bad things. And it would have been extremely easy for someone like myself. I'm much older than she is, probably 20 years older than she is. It would have been very easy for me to kind of take on a fatherly figure of, now, you shouldn't have done that. But I didn't. I was encouraging to her and said, you know, here's some things you could have done to make this better. And you might have had a better experience. Hopefully, you know, I'll gift you a copy of my book if you'll reach out to me, because I'd like to see you succeed and just be encouraging. And I think that's the tone that reaches people a lot more than this kind of barrel you over the head BBC kind of debate back and forth that you see all the time. We have those kind of shows here in America, too. That doesn't really produce anything good.
Yeah, and also you get the people who are selling. Yeah, we're all, you and your cohorts are, you know, do books. They do brilliant books, but also there's people who are. I think they're quite scared because you're taking on their patch, you know, like the Weight Watchers of this world. I can't remember, there was a guy I watched on a blog, on a video blog. It's not, is it Dukoff diet or something like that?
Oh, the Dukan
yeah.
diet.
But there was a...
It's actually out of the UK, Dukan.
Yeah.
D-U-K-A-N.
There was another guy beginning with D. I can't remember his name. But he was slating the keto diet about its sustainability and things like that. And it was on one of these Good Morning America type programs. Where
there's so many out there, it's hard to keep up with them anymore.
Yeah,
Rob.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. Because keto is so popular, especially here in America, there's become this new marketing strategy from these people that don't agree with keto or have something to sell. Just bash keto. You'll get on television.
Yeah.
Jillian Michaels, most famously here in America, did that. You'll get on television to pimp your new book. The problem is, you look at her sales of her book, it ain't doing very well. So,
yeah, and I think we saw a drop in profits of Weight Watchers. And there's a doctor over here who is coming on the podcast very soon, Dr. Mike Keane, and he just basically said that, have you seen the share prices of Weight Watchers? And they've rebranded, Rob. I said, just think about it, WW. And I thought, that's a good observation, Mike.
Yes, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oprah's not very happy over here because she owns a good chunk of Weight Watchers in America. And, yeah, they're losing market share.
Yeah, and that comment, I eat bread, was going to haunt her for...
love bread.
I love bread.
Yeah, no kidding. I know. We can tell.
Right, we're coming up very closely to the end of the podcast because you're a very busy man, Jimmy. But I always ask...
I got
to
go rant on something, Rob.
Oh, brilliant. I can't wait. It's evening over here. It's 8 o'clock in the evening, so I'm going to go upstairs and have some food, some family time. But tell me when your rant is, because we'll all be watching it on on the big screen. I ask about recipes and things like that. Now, you've got the middle of the Real Food Keto book, and recipes are by Maria Emmerich. But do you have a go-to snack? And a go-to, I've got some non-keto people coming around for dinner. Let's just do it by stealth. What would you recommend, or what would you actually cook, yourself and Christine cook for some dinner?
All right. So on the snack, I'm going to shock you.
Go on.
If you have to snack, you're not doing keto well.
Yeah.
Because keto is so satiating that you should probably fall, unless you have like gastric bypass surgery or some digestive issues that make it hard to eat larger meals, you should get all of your calories in about 1 to 2 meals in a day. And I typically fall, Rob, in that one meal a day, probably 5 days of the week, and I eat a couple of meals a day, 2 days of the week. That's just the way I eat. And of course, you know, I'm doing this keto carnivore right now. So it's mostly an animal-based food diet. And if you want to kind of step up keto, do the keto macros, except with just animal foods. It will blow you away.
Wow.
How easy it is, how I don't even think about food. It's like, okay, it's time to go have my meat. I put a little cheese on there. And then I eat it, and then that's it. That's all I have to do the whole day, and I'm done.
And you're doing a bit of subliminal fasting while you're doing it.
Yes. Yeah, 23 and a half hours of fasting, typically, until I have my next day, and I have that, you know, basically almost the same meal. You could change it up if you wanted to have fish one day and you wanted to have steak the next day and maybe a burger the next day or a pork chop the next day. You could kind of change it up if you wanted to. But I'm very comfortable with what I'm doing now, and getting results from it too. So that's the good part. But what would I make for people if they were just visiting? You know what? Steak and vegetables is never a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
You can serve them steak, put a little butter, pat of butter on top. If they ask where the steak sauce is, you say that the butter on top is your steak sauce.
Sure.
And then you have some vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower and squash and zucchini, all of those things. You can make like a little medley and put some ghee on top of that or some butter as well.
Yep.
And that's it. I think you just serve them. And then if we go, well, do we have a roll? We don't have bread in this house. If you wanted to make one of those ones you mentioned earlier, there are recipes available. But I'm even coming to the conclusion, Rob, having done this such a long time, that even those things are just so familiar, the crappy garbage, it's better to just get them out of your mind altogether, and you don't miss them. That's the thing. You think you miss them, but then you have even this fake version of it, and you go, okay, yeah, it's healthier ingredients, but did I really get anything out of that?
It's back to your comment. It's about we don't want to make plant-based meat look like meat, if you know
that's
what
right.
I mean. Yeah. So it's
and we do the same thing in keto when we make keto-friendly almond flour bread.
Yeah, sure. And one of my the questions I have been asking, because my show is about keto and the keto way of eating, but it's also called Keto Happiness, and I've started to ask my guests now, inevitably, it could be the big picture, it could be the small picture. What makes you happy, Jimmy?
Oh, dude, I wake up in the morning happy.
Yeah,
that's the beauty. You know, there's certain personality types that they want to moan and groan all day. But for me, life is happiness.
Yeah,
being able to breathe today and not be dead today like my brother is happiness. I'm able to do what I love to do, and that is talk, and do it for a living, and write, and all the things. It just makes me want to sing, man.
Well, yay! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
I got to do a little Pharrell Williams, man.
Oh, brilliant!
That's just the way I roll.
Now tell me, if you listen to the Living La Vida Low Carb show, is that LL Cool J doing the theme?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I was just telling the if you listen to the Living La Vida Low Carb podcast, the theme tune, I love it. Is that LL Cool J?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
One of my heroes. No, I used to be a club DJ.
Impersonator.
Yeah, I used to be a club DJ, and I thought, oh my god, I can't believe Jimmy Morse. But the band that I'm in,
although
I think
he does eat clean, like he eats like a clean paleo diet. LL Cool J does.
Okay.
And so yeah, he's all about the gluten free and grain free.
Oh,
he's
wow.
not keto that I know of, but
brilliant.
He's a stud, man.
Yeah,
but no, that's the sound of life.
And finally, I'm going to give you as much opportunity. Can you tell the world and all the UK and Ireland how we one get in touch with you in terms of your books, and the other, all your podcast links and things? I will publish them on the page. But while you're here, while I've got you here on these precious moments, I know Keto Clarity by Jimmy Moore and Dr. Eric Westman is available on Amazon. But tell us about everything else, Jimmy.
Yeah, all of my books are on Amazon.co.uk there in y'all's country. But I have a very convenient website that have links to everything that I do, including all of my podcasts, all of my books, everything that I do. It's located in one central hub. I just had everything earlier this year I guess put it all under one roof. Forever, I've had like a million websites.
Okay.
So we finally got a clue, Rob, and we put it all under one roof. So it's real easy to remember because it's Living La Vida Low Carb. It's all of those letters. So LL, V as in Victor, LC as in cat. Living La Vida Low Carb, LLVLC.com. That's how easy it is to remember.
And we'll be posting that as well. And any more... obviously, the Jimmy Rants is now on Facebook. Have you got any more books in the pipeline?
Oh, yeah. I have three books coming over the next year. So in May, it's been 5 years since I released Keto Clarity, and they're finally giving me a cookbook that's a companion to it. So Keto Clarity Cookbook is coming in May. My co-author on that is a newcomer. Her name is Heather Ingersoll. And Heather makes some beautiful recipes. My goodness, she's just so talented. But readers of Keto Clarity will see some familiarity in the front matter, which I wrote, Moment of Clarity quotes. So we got some brand new doctors that are offering some Moment of Clarity quotes, including Dr. Cole and various other ones that you'll recognize. and new information that will be put in the front matter, and then all those glorious recipes. So that's coming in May.
Brilliant.
Then in July, Dr. Lemansky, my hacking podcast, the biohacking doctor, we're putting a book out called Keto Plus, which will have a lot of the biohacks that we've been talking about on our show in a book form as well, obviously with a ketogenic diet being the basis of all of it.
Yep.
And then I'm taking a 6-month sabbatical from September until February. But when I get back in March next year, we're going to re-release. It's been 5 years since I wrote Keto Clarity. So we're going to re-release Keto Clarity and change it up. We're going to put some fresh new recipes in there, fresh new Moment of Clarity quotes. We're going to kind of give it a makeover. Same book, but just a makeover with some fresh new information and updates of what's happened in keto since 5 years ago when I first wrote Keto Clarity.
That's brilliant. And there's a few films out there like The Magic Pill and the Big Fat Fix and things like that. Have you aspiring to do your own documentary type film?
Oh, God, no. That's a lot of work, man. I have a friend named Tom Naughton. He was the one that did one of the very first low-carb documentaries called Fathead. If you've never seen Fathead, go see it. He recently released the children's version of it called Fathead Kids, which is great. I actually got to play three voices of characters in that particular film. So that was pretty cool. I'm a voiceover actor now. But it's funny you mention that, Rob, because I do have this desire to want to get it out in a creative way like that. Sure. I'm just not a filmmaker. I don't mind talking out, mind being behind the camera, obviously, but I just don't know enough about kind of like post-production to make it all look like some seamless show. Yeah. So
we'll give it a few years. My eldest son, Jack, is an aspiring film director. So you never know. You might be guesting on one of his projects. I said, why don't you film me and my journey, Jack? And I think, should we get Jimmy Moore on to do one of those little segues with a nice background of Honolulu or something like that? But I say it would be great. And obviously you get asked on shows like this and other shows that obviously I'm trying to push and, because there's a lot of us sort of, I call it sort of amateur enthusiasts want to just spread the word. But if we can spread more to go on to your, get information from you, likes of yourselves, because I'm not the one who can translate everything, but I can say, whatever you try, have you read this? Or, listen to this, listen to this. The mm-hmm. more the merrier.
For sure. And I think we're all in this to try to help each other. And if everybody took that mentality of today, I'm going to try to help as many people as possible. Can you imagine how much we could change the world overnight if everybody took on that mantra? Sadly, people are kind of in it for themselves, for their own self-interest and whatever their reasons for doing it. But I, for one, am in it to try to change people's lives, make them better than they were yesterday.
Exactly. And, we'll fully endorse anything like that, Jimmy. And we're coming to a close to the Keto Happiness podcast with Jimmy Moore. And I want to give you a big thank you. It's an honor talking to somebody that I'd never thought this time last year I'd be talking to somebody that I study, I follow so avidly. And it's been an honor, mate. Because I'm the
happy You inspired it, Rob.
Cheers, brother. Stop alone if
you feel. Sorry. You asked it. You brought this on, brother. You called it the Keto Happiness Podcast, so I have to bring my happy on, man.
I know. I'm going to have to get the band to re-record that in our own little way. So
Yes.
And do our own jingle. But this has been the Keto Happiness Podcast with me, Rob Saunders, and a big thank you to Jimmy Moore. We'll see you all next time.